when the word of God is coming, make sure that it's not just your soul that is present. Make sure your spirit is alive and receiving the word. God does not dwell in the realm of the soul. God does not dwell in the flesh. God does not dwell in the soul. Where God dwells is in the human spirit. God dwells in the human spirit. And God dwelling in the human spirit, the scripture says, the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. So any communication God will have with you, it is through your spirit. It is rather in your spirit. The impartation God brings to you is in the spirit of the man that he brings the impartation. When the soul receives that message and allows it to permeate, then that word can enter the spirit to bring transformation. This morning I want to just speak on what I believe the Lord wants me to speak on. And that is what I will caption, altars and covenants. Altars and covenants. This morning as we journey with God's word, this is going to be an elevator. I believe many of us have gone to shopping malls and all of that. There are places that if you climb through the stairs, you will take much time. But if you go through the elevator, in the twinkling of an eye, you are at your destination. So this utterance will come as an elevator to bringing us into the reality of the promises of God, altars and covenants. Last week we talked about building spiritual altars. And I told us that the altars that God demands for us to build is not the altar we build with bricks and mortars. It's not the altar you build with cement. It's not the altar you build and put some decorations. That one is okay, but that one is in the flesh realm, is in the material realm. The altar is a spiritual one. It's a spiritual altar. I will not delve into that. For those that will have need of that message can get back to it. But this morning, what the Lord will be bringing is altars and covenants. A covenant is a kind of promise. It's a contract. A covenant is a binding agreement between two or more people. It's a contract. It's a binding agreement between two or more people. That's a covenant. Virtually every country in the world has their embassy in Nigeria. And before any country will have its embassy in your country, or before any country will have its embassy in Nigeria, Nigeria and that country must have entered what they call a treaty. In international relations, they call it treaty. In biblical terms, you can call it a covenant. It's an agreement. It is mutual. In this agreement, how countries run their embassies is that once the United States comes to Nigeria and builds an embassy, the embassy may just be a story building in any location. That embassy is just like the U.S. in Nigeria. The embassy, even though it's in a foreign soil, Nigeria will see it as the U.S. the Nigerian government cannot enter there to arrest somebody because they have a binding agreement. The way things are run in the US, they want to run the same system there. They will be independent of that nation where they are being hosted. Likewise, Nigeria too. So all this happened because of the treaty they have entered. For an instance, if you hear that Nigeria recalls its ambassador from either South Africa or Zimbabwe or the US, if Nigeria recalls its ambassador, the other country will have to recall its ambassador. And from there, you can say the treaty has been breached. Then in biblical terms, you can say the covenant has been broken. So therefore, there is no more relationship between the two parties. I'm talking about altars and covenants. There are men in the Bible that God stroke entered covenants with. There are men. Men who were clothed in mortality, like myself and you. The Bible said Elijah was a man of like passion. So men who were of like passion with us, who have same kind of emotion and all of that. But God entered covenants with them. So we are going to see the dimension to which God will have us see today. First of all, let's see Exodus 19 verse 5 very briefly. If you're listening to our GAG sermons, you have to know that we must search the scriptures. There are many things we may have in the head knowledge, but it is important too for us to still say, look into the Bible and point it out. There is a revelation the Lord may give you there than myself just quoting it. Exodus 19:5, the scripture says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." God is requesting something from Israel here. Said, if you will keep my covenant, if you will keep my agreement I have with you, if that's conditional, you keep the agreement I have with you, he says, I will make you a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. Why did God choose Israel? Israel came out of the loins of Abraham. God spoke to Abraham one day, say, young man, I want to enter a covenant with you. Circumcise all your children, all your male children. And the same day God spoke to Abraham, that very day, Abraham did not delay. Abraham circumcised his son, he circumcised himself too. Someone that is advanced in age circumcised himself. Imagine the pain Abraham went through. So that was called the covenant of circumcision. In that covenant of circumcision, it's just like circumcision is just like today when we say born again. In those days, when you want to say someone is an unbeliever, you say the person is uncircumcised. So that's why when Goliath came against Israel, David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That is like an unbeliever. For you to enter into the commonwealth of God, it was not by saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life. That was not the technology for that age. For you to be accepted in the beloved was for you to be circumcised. The Gentile nations were not circumcised. So God's covenant with Abraham was based on circumcision. God entered that covenant with Abraham. Abraham fulfilled his part, and God said, I will make you the father of many nations. That's why till today, many religions, they profess to know Abraham. The three renowned religions in the world, they are Abrahamic faiths. they believe that Abraham is our father. Both Ishmael. What am I trying to say? Based on Abraham fulfilling his own quota of the agreement, God brought into light his promises to him. Altars and covenants. Look at Hebrews 10 verse 16. Let's just see that text, what it has to say. Hebrews 10 verse 16. The scripture says, I read from verse 14 to 16. It says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. That's why, even without the Bible, there are some things you want to do, and there is a voice that will be speaking inside of you saying, young man, that's not the right way. There are some decisions you want to take. A voice will just say inside of you, God will not like that. Yes, he says, I will put my laws in their hearts. That's the law of God in your hearts. He has written it on the tablets of your hearts. A generation had offended God, and God was displeased with them. God was to destroy that generation. And he looked and found a man that had raised an altar for him. And the man, having raised an altar for Yahweh, God looked and said, this man, I will have a covenant of preservation for him and for his generation. That's Noah in Genesis 6. God preserved Noah because of Noah's personal altar with God and relationship with God. Noah had that relationship with God at the place of the altar, personal fellowship with God. As a result of that, when God was to destroy that generation, for the sake of Noah, God preserved his seed. And God said to Noah, I will put a bow in the cloud. Excuse me, we are Bible students. Genesis chapter 9, verse 11. Let's read that. Genesis 9, verse 11. Genesis chapter 9 verse 11. The scripture says, and I read, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood. That's to say, God already had a covenant with him, but at this point God was to establish the covenant, was to make it a reality. He says, all flesh will be cut off, neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood, neither shall there anymore be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant. This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you. God is saying to Noah, this is the token. A token is an evidence. This is the evidence of the covenant I will have with you, Noah. God says, and every living creature of all flesh and water shall no more become, there shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. I love the fact that God could look at verse 15 where I just read. He said, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you. I'm looking at that juncture where God will speak and say, between me and you. Imagine coming to that realm where many decisions God will want to take. He will say, you know, it's between me and you. You know that you have already had a covenant relationship with Him. While I was doing my study, I didn't even take note of this. God telling Noah, between me and you. He knew him. He knew Noah. He knew Noah. So he had to tell Noah his next move on earth. Noah was aware of the next move of God. Why others did not know. He said, between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Look at 16 down. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, verse 17, this is a token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Now look at this. He said, and the bow shall be in the cloud. That's the rainbow. So God says, anytime he sees the rainbow, he remembers that he will never destroy the earth again with water. That was the covenant. And God is still fulfilling that covenant. And for all eternity, he will fulfill that covenant. Not that the earth will not be destroyed, but by water, the world will not be destroyed again. So he put the rainbow. He said, perhaps his justice wants to override that covenant. When he sees the rainbow, he remembers that covenant. So you will hold his peace. So the rainbow became a mark, became a token of God's promise of not to destroy the world by water again. Altars and covenants. I saw that Noah had altars of fellowship with God. And God entered covenant with him. How about Abraham? How about the other patriarchs? Isaac and Jacob? These all established altars at different points. If we begin to search scriptures, we will not live here. They all had altars of personal relationship with God. Jacob, what was that? What place is that? Is it Luz or where? Peniel or where? Where he encountered the angel of the Lord. And he made an altar to the Lord. In those days, things could be done in the flesh. But now what God is talking is a spiritual altar. Place of fellowship with God. Personal with him. Building spiritual altars. Not building spiritual altars. Altars and covenants. We need to have spiritual altars built in our lives. I said that there is need for corporate altars, personal altars. You know what the word corporate means, right? Corporate altars could be that one that includes other persons. You establish a corporate altar in your home where people could gather and call upon the name of the Lord on a daily basis. The fire keeps burning. Then, outside the corporate altar, you also having your own personal altar where you commune with God. God struck covenant with men who had built personal altars of fellowship with him. Look at Genesis 17 verse 4. Genesis 17 verse 4. Briefly, and we are running out of there. It says, rather from 3 to 4. Okay? Genesis 7, 2 to 4. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. Are you seeing this? This one now is Abraham. This one is not Noah. Imagine God talking to men saying, between me and thee. Imagine how consistent these men were with the presence of God. Imagine how addicted these men were with the presence of God, that God would be saying, between me and you. This is the level we need to attain. Verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and you, Abraham. And I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face. And God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Both spiritual, both physical. In fact, Abraham is the father of the Middle East. is the Grand Patriarch of the Middle East. Judaism, that deals with, you know, Jews, they use the Bible from Genesis to Malachi. They call it the Torah. Now, Jews using the Bible, Father Abraham is still their father. We too, that are in the commonwealth of God through Christ, we use Genesis to Revelation. We still call ourselves the children of Abraham. Many other religions. Because of the covenant, God made him the father of many nations. But the Abrahamic covenant that God had with him, as touching the saving of the soul, any other religion that professes salvation will not get it right unless they come under the aegis of the blood of Christ. Because the old covenant was done away with, and we received a new covenant, which is also called the New Testament. So the new testator now is Christ himself. So that's why Christ becomes and is the only entrance and access route to heaven. Now there is something I want to tell us that is very important, that we need to register in our spirit. In the Old Testament days, when the children of Israel were to go for battle, there is something they do. Before they go for any battle, if they are to have victory in that battle, they will go with the Ark of the Covenant first. The Ark of the Covenant goes first. And once the Ark goes, Israel is assured of victory. The Ark of the Covenant goes first. Look at Numbers 10 verse 35. Numbers 10 verse 35. The scripture says, and it came to pass. Are we there? Or rather, let's see 1 Samuel 4. 2 to 3. 1 Samuel 4, 2 to 3. 1 Samuel 4, 2 to 3. The scripture says, and the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. Look at verse 3. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, this is an elderly council. Not a childish council. The elders of Israel said, wherefore had the Lord smitten us before this day before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Now look up. When they were to go for the battle, the elders advised that they should fetch the Ark of the Covenant, let it go before them, so that they will be preserved in the battle. God began to tell me that those of us that will be preserved in the journey of destiny, that is, those of us who are professors of Christ, the ones that will be preserved are those that must have activated personal covenants with the Lord. When the covenant goes ahead, the Ark of the Covenant goes, Israel is assured victory, has assured victory. So, those who are without covenants, they will be without preservation. Those who are without covenant will be without security. The Bible said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. So the shadow of the Almighty covers those that dwell in the secret place. Are you seeing that? You did not follow me. It's he that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is to say, the shadow of the Almighty, just like the mother hen, covers those that are in the secret place of the mother. I don't know if you understand me. It does not cover everybody in the streets. It is those that dwell in his secret place. So, this is it is covenantal. This is, I don't know if that English is correct. This is them playing their part and God playing his part. When they dwell in the secret place of the Most High, it's an agreement with God that if they dwell in my secret place, then I will cover them with my shadow. That is it. So that's why God does not promise security for anyone that is outside his coverage. Security is not guaranteed. Security is not guaranteed. That's why when Satan came to Jesus, he said, "For it is written that he will give his angels charge over you." But the Bible did not say he will give his angels charge over you when you're not walking in his ways. So Satan misinterpreted the scriptures. He quoted out of context. Altars and covenants. We need to come alive in our covenant relationship with God. A covenant is a kind of promise, a contract, a binding agreement between two parties. Each and every one of us, we have a contract with God. We have a contract with God. And any contract where one party is fulfilling and the other party is not fulfilling, the contract is breached. All these men of old, they kept their parts. And God will speak to them, say, "Between me and you, this is what I will do. Between me and you, covenant relationship that is better than the place on the altar." Covenant relationship bettered in the place of the altar. But Israel lost in the battle because Eli had broken God's covenant. So God vowed that he was going to depart from his people. That was when Israel lost the glory. Because Eli had broken his own quota of the covenant. So the Lord began to tell me that we need to take covenants into battles. Covenants into battles. When Elijah said, "There shall be no rain these 3.5 years," Elijah did not just come out from anywhere and made that decree because he wants to show himself powerful. That's a lie. Elijah did not make that decree that there will be no rain in Israel because he felt like he wants to just stop praying. That's a lie. If you read Deuteronomy, the Bible said God promised his people that when they disobey him, that he will not send rain to the land. So Elijah has seen that Israel is in the place of disobedience. They are now worshipping Baal. So Elijah went, as it is written in the volume of the books of God, according to God's covenant with his people, and say, "Okay, since it has been written, therefore there shall be no rain." Elijah now gave 3.5 years. But the no rain promise, God had already said it in the covenant. So, and it was activated. It was activated. It happened that there was no rain. Because Elijah went as it is written in the books of the covenant of God. And as Elijah uttered it, God had to play his part to bring it to pass. God played his part. The church in Nigeria, the church in Africa, is as though we are losing the war to the enemy. Majorly because we are not playing our part right. I keep saying it in the spirit of lamentations, like Jeremiah did. The church is journeying into Babylon, and the messages we have most often now are not messages that are bettered by the Spirit of Christ. So when the church goes in this direction, it would be that it is breaking the covenant. And before you know, it will look as though the devil is winning. Not because God is not faithful, but because man is not playing his role. Altars and covenants. There are some people that are in relationships that I advise. The person you are seeing in this relationship, I know I've not preached anything on marriage yet. One day, when the Lord leads me. But what I want to say is that if you happen to be in a relationship and what you are seeing in the person is not what you want to see in the marriage, you should not even continue. Because what you see in the relationship is what you are going to have in the marriage most at times. Those flaws you see in the relationship, you will see it in the marriage. So when people had that, they did not follow the warning signal and they proceeded. Now, what am I trying to say? When the people get binded as one in the altar by a priest, wedded as one, and they exchange vows and they say, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, and they climax it by saying, till death do part. You know, that becomes very dangerous as a covenant. It becomes a covenant. Those utterances becomes a covenant that in the realm of the spirit, a spirit takes charge of that. That when, let me say for an example now, something happened. I want to just share this with us. My eldest brother, our first son, he married a lady. And the lady he married, she's late now. His marriage made me fear covenant. Before he married this lady, the relationship wasn't actually pure per se, because immorality had taken place before the marriage. So when things happen like that, Satan even leverages on that. But that's not my point. Now, when he married this lady, my brother did not know that somebody had paid the dowry of this lady before. And she hid it from my brother. She did not tell him. She hid it from my family. She did not tell them. So, after their wedding, my brother traveled to Dubai, and this lady became seriously sick. Seriously sick. She became dry like a bone and died. So after she died, one of our neighbors that knew those days when I was small, that my brother knew his wife through that my neighbor. The neighbor came and was confessing to us that she hid this from the family that this lady had married before. That the person she married was the one that trained her in nursing school. Listen well. The man trained her throughout the nursing school, paid her dowry. So when it was time for she to go to him, she refused. She refused him. So and she ran away from him. So this young man went to a shrine and placed a curse on the girl that any day she will run from him to another man. So and so sickness, this and this will happen, and she's out. The guy did it. And now this is my brother's wife. My brother wasn't spiritual at any point, but this young lady, matter of fact, most of the books I have are her books. She read books. In the ministry she works with, she was ordained an evangelist. Are you hearing me? If we are talking about spiritual fervency, if you want to call prayer now, the girl will outrun you in prayer. Anything you want to talk about God, her knowledge of God, it surprises me. It surprises me. In the ministry she served with, she was also a deliverance minister, casting out devils. Very strong. But then, having been that someone had paid your dowry, not that the dowry was even returned, trained you in school, and you say, after you become a nurse, you say you don't like the person again. And you said, I am now in Christ. All things are passed away. Hello? Your family has given the person over to you. As in, your family has held you by the hand and given to the person as his wife. And you leave that covenant. You now go to the bank. Not that they called back the man or say, look at what you spent on our daughter, take it back, or this and that. Or I don't want to go into that because this matter is controversial in the body of Christ. But then she ran like a whirlwind away from the man and went to have another person pay her dowry. In fact, matter of fact, the day my brother paid her dowry was when her sickness started. There is no hospital she did not go to. She could not explain what was doing her. And that's how she lost her life. That's how she died. Some of the books in my library today are her own. The kind of books this lady reads, you'll be surprised. There's something they call covenant breakers. If you understand the dimension of this, you will fear for yourself and you'll be careful with the things you do. If such a thing is to happen and you say now you are confessing Jesus as Lord, when you come to Christ, you come to Christ through repentance. Repentance is the gateway to the kingdom. That's why John began to preach saying, repent. But the kingdom of God is at hand. So repentance is that staircase you climb to enter. So people that have entered God's kingdom without passing that staircase or elevator of repentance, it's not the kingdom. No. Even Jesus himself, apart from John, began to preach by saying, repent ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The disciples, the first message they preached to was, repent for the kingdom of. That's why the message of repentance is very important, even though it's an old school message. Are you saying? But without it, you can't enter the kingdom. You can't. I was studying the Bible the other day and I saw a revelation I've never seen in my life before. I saw that Nicodemus did not come to Jesus because he wants to be born again. That's a lie. Nicodemus came to Jesus. What he asked Jesus, he said, Master, Rabboni, I know that thou art a great teacher. And no man can do these miracles you do except God is with him. That was the only thing Nicodemus said. Immediately Jesus overtook and said, except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom. Now what concerns what Nicodemus is saying with what Jesus was saying? I don't know if you're getting what concerns Nicodemus saying, I know that you are a great teacher in Israel. No man can do these miracles you are doing except God be with him. And the next verse, Jesus begins to say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Jesus diverted his attention. Nicodemus came for a secret miracle. I don't know his sickness. But he came to Jesus because there was a miracle he was seeking. Because the first thing he pointed to was miracles. He said, no man can do these miracles except God. He first praised Jesus verbally by calling him Rabbi. You know, when they call someone Rabbi in the Jewish system, it's not just teacher per se. Rabbi is like you are saying Master, Honorable, Oga. So he said, Oga, I know You are a teacher in Israel. No man can do this miracle except God be with him. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot. So Nicodemus wanted to access the things of the kingdom, the miracles of the kingdom. So Jesus now had to show him the staircase of repentance. So what I'm saying is, my brother's wife broke a covenant. And that covenant she broke, she opened spiritual gates, that empowered the demonic utterance of that man many years ago. They say that man had placed that utterance more than 7 years ago. And the spirit that was to bring delivery of that word was still roaming many years waiting for the man that would pick the lady. And when that thing happened, she did not even call the husband to restitute and say, okay, see what had happened. She didn't even call my brother to say, see what had happened. If she had done that, are you getting me? The spirit of the Lord at that point can begin to work with them to see that some things are restituted and she'll be covered. So she could not have been operating in the kingdom without repentance. So what she did, I'm sorry to say, what my brother's wife did was religion she played. She played religion. And it destroyed her. And that thing destroyed her. What I'm trying to say is that there are people God has made covenants with in the past. He entered covenant with them because they had lively altars. Genesis chapter 2 verse 24. Let me show something very important. Not Genesis, Exodus 2 24. It's very important. I saw this newly in the scriptures. Exodus chapter 2 verse 24. After Jesus said to Nicodemus then, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus now asked him and said, but how can a man enter his mother's womb again to be born again? Jesus now said, marvel not, for I said, because he knew that Nicodemus would be surprised. Abba, this what I came here for is not what he's telling me. So he said, marvel not, for I say unto you, that except a man be born again. Exodus 2:24. Look at what I want to show us. I read 23-24. Exodus 2:23-24. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried, and their cry came unto God by reason of their bondage. You see, most times when we cry to God, God will not just look at tears alone. There is something else God wants to see. And that is what I call covenant. God wants to see if there is a lively covenant around. They cry to God by the reason of their bondage. Look at 24. And God heard their groaning. That is, he heard their prayer points. He heard their fasting and prayer. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. So God heard their groaning, then he remembered his covenant. So their groaning made him remember the covenant he had with their fathers, that they would be delivered from captivity. Their groaning was not just what made God bring liberation to them. No, it was covenant. God heard their groaning and remembered covenant. So when you are groaning to God in a place of prayer, when God hears your groaning, what he remembers is that if you are under the aegis of Christ, if you are under the aegis of the blood of Christ, if you are the redeemed, if you are a redeemed of the Lord, when you grow and God hears your groaning, what he remembers is the covenant of the blood of Jesus over you. over you. It is per head. He will remember what Jesus has done. And I'm trying to make him see reasons how that you ought not to be going through this. He remembers his covenant with his son on the cross of Calvary. So that is one thing that makes God answers prayers really. God does not answer prayers because we are smooth tongued. He does not really answer prayers because you spend too many hours. It is that when you have been aligned with him and you are calling, he remembers what Jesus did on the cross. My friend, consistency at the altar ushers us into a covenant of life. Consistency at the altar. You take the promises of the covenant you secure at the altar to the battleground. You take the promises of the covenant of God. You take them to the altar. Rather, you take them from the altar to the battleground. It's a strong revelation that Israel, when they want to win a war, the ark of the covenant goes ahead. So covenant needs to go ahead of you. When I say covenant needs to go ahead of you, you remember the things that Jesus did for you on the cross. You begin to project them in the spirit realm via your words and heart alignment. As you're seeing that, God remembers that covenant as he hears your cry. Now there is a story I want us to see in the Bible. The story really got me interested this week. I was like, wow. I've not taken time to study these people. Have you heard of who they call the Rechabites? Rechabites. Their story really made me stand up on my feet. The Rechabites. I said, I will be a type of the Rechabite in my generation and dispensation. There are this set of people. God said, their father told them, you shall not drink wine. You shall not build houses. You shall live in tents. The days of your life, you will be sojourners. The fathers told them to be like this, and they began to be like that for generations. And a time came, God told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, go to the house of the Rechabites. Call all of them. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. Go to the house of the Rechabites. Call all the Rechabites. Call them to my temple. As you call them to my temple, put pots of wine. Pots filled with alcohol. God told Jeremiah to do that. Fill pots with alcohol. Put cups everywhere. Tell the Rechabites, or your drink to your food. God gave Jeremiah that instruction. And Jeremiah brought pots, many pots, dropped it at the altar, filled alcohol in all the pots, and told the Rechabites, or all of you, take your cups. Begin to drink. Thus says the Lord, drink. The Rechabites say, we will not drink. Jeremiah said, this is the word of the Lord. They say, no, our fathers. Jeremiah 35 from verse 1. The word of the Lord which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go unto the house of the Rechabites, speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Give them wine to drink. Then I took Zaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Abizanah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of Rechabites. 4. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igladiah, a man of God, which was led by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. Look at 5. And I stepped before the sons of the house of the Rechabites, pot full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink you wine. Jeremiah set pot full of wine before them and said, drink wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, neither you nor your sons forever. Neither shall you build houses, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days shall dwell in the tents, that you may live many days in the land where you be strangers. Look at 8. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he had charged us, to drink no wine all the days of our lives. We, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to what Jonadab, our father, commanded. Are you seeing this? They say, we have kept the words of our fathers, that says we should not do this thing, that this thing is wrong. So Jeremiah, whether you are speaking by any means, we want to obey the words of our fathers. That was covenant. They had a covenant with their fathers. See the lesson there. Look at 12. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instructions to hearken to my words? Say the Lord. Look at 14. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. They are doing it. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, Israel, early and speaking, but you hearken not unto me. Because they look at Israel. I rise up early to give you charges, to give you decrees that will help you, but you don't do them. But look at the Rechabites. Look at 15. And I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return you now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And you shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and your fathers, but you have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. That's a very interesting story. Very interesting. Look at 17 down. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. It was on this occasion, immediately the Rechabites showed obedience. God said, okay, Israel, we have to enter captivity in Babylon. That's how Nebuchadnezzar came and carried all of them away to captivity. That's why you found Daniel in Babylon. It was at this point that God said, look at the Rechabites, these people. See how they held to the instructions their fathers gave to them. But I rise up early, I give Israel what they don't hear. I send prophets, I send teachers, but they don't listen. Now look at the last verse. Therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. So say there will always be a man from the Rechabite to stand before the Lord forever. Till today it is so. Because of covenant promises. The Lord began to tell me through this case that when you yield to temptations, you break covenants. When you yield to temptations, you break covenants. But when you overcome temptations, you secure higher covenants or promises. Because of that, God elevated the Rechabites. They stood on the word that they knew was born of righteousness. They stood. Their fathers had altars with God and established covenants. And that covenant, they fought for the covenant. God did not want them to just come to the altar and drink wine per se, but God wanted to show Jeremiah how these people are staunch and rugged. They were rugged in what they believed. They had been indoctrinated by their fathers, and the indoctrination entered their blood. Those are the kind of people that, if they are believers, that can even stand to be martyrs. They will die for what they have believed, not the ones that are double-minded. The Rechabites, they were a type of people that showed steadfastness. They were people that were born of convictions. They had their convictions and they ran with it. Uncompromised, the Rechabites. They knew that their fathers had existing altars and existing covenants with God. And they fought for that covenant. And as a result, God said, no man, that no generation will lack a Rechabite that will stand before me. Because of them fighting for the faith which they are believing, God exalted them. And God began to resonate very clearly to me that each temptation you yield to, you lose a point that you may not recover from. Each temptation you yield to, you lose a point that you may not recover from. God forgave David very well. God cleansed that. But the word of the Lord came, say, your kingdom shall be divided. That kingdom was divided. Not in his days, but in the days of his son, after Solomon. To the extent Absalom had to sleep his concubines on the rooftop. He did his own in the secret. And his concubines were slept with on the rooftop, his son. His son chased him out of the throne. A king began to live inside bush because he broke a covenant. If you are a covenant breaker, you will live in bushes all the days of your life. Very dangerous. If you're a covenant breaker, you live in bushes. David, in the wilderness, he sought the face of God and God granted him mercy. He went back. The kingdom was restored. The kingdom was restored to him. But then, because of that, the kingdom of Israel parted into the north and the south. Being known as a covenant breaker is very dangerous. Isaiah 24, 4 to 6. Isaiah 24, 4 to 6. When I saw this scripture, I feared the Lord again. In holy reference. Isaiah 24, 4 to 6. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Because they have transgressed the laws. They have changed the ordinance. They have broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, had the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. He said they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. Danger. That's a danger zone. If you break covenants of things God has committed to you, telling you that this is how it should be, you will miss a point in the spirit that you may not recover from. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous. When Jephthah entered the covenant with God, immediately he won the battle. He did as he had told the Lord, even though it was his daughter. He fulfilled that one. If he had not fulfilled that one, something devastating would have happened to Jephthah. Keep the covenants God has shown to you on personal terms. The covenants God has revealed to you on personal terms, how you should live your life. The ones that the preacher does not know, but on personal terms, there are decrees God has given to you in your secret place. Keep the covenants. Don't be a covenant breaker. He said, these ones, they have broken the everlasting covenant. A curse came upon their earth. Came upon the earth. The earth there is their land. Spiritually. If you're a covenant breaker, you will suffer injuries. Heavy one. altars and covenants. God himself is a covenant keeping God. He's a covenant keeping God. He wants us to play our part. We should not be amongst those who are lawless. When I mean anything goes, no, don't be among them. Be like the Rechabites. Huh? Be like the Rechabites. That if a prophet, most anointed, oil is pouring from his head, calls you and tells you, thus says the Lord, sleep with this girl on the altar. You'll look at him. You say, our fathers, our preachers have told us that the Lord said, flee fornication. You tell them what your preacher, what your fathers have told you, that is in accordance with the word of the Lord. You say, indeed, the Spirit of the Lord is not with thee. That is it. There are many people that may see an anointed man, and the anointed man will tell them to do something sinful. Then they will say, okay, because this man is anointed, maybe God is the one. No, that's not God. That's not God. I'm done with the message, but I just want to see something in Hebrews 10. I think if I see this, I'll be satisfied. Then we close the meeting. Hebrews 10. I think we need to see this. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 26 to 29. Can we look at this together? It says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. I'm reading Hebrews 10, 6, 26 to 29. But certain fearful looking for judgment and fear indignation which shall devour the adversaries. For he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Look at 29. Of how much sorrow punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? This is New Testament we're reading, not the Old Testament. And hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despise unto the Spirit of grace. Had trodden underfoot the Son of God, counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he is sanctified an unholy thing. So if you go ahead doing things that are not proper in the sight of God, you are breaking covenant. And if you are saying the blood of Jesus covers you, you are telling a lie. The blood of Jesus will not cover you in willful wickedness and sin. The blood of Jesus does not give you immunity there. Instead of how much sorrow punishment. Because while I'm saying this, there are new age teachings flying everywhere, giving people license to misbehavior. But this is the New Testament we are quoting from. Before they start saying this is Old Testament, they said they counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. The blood of Jesus is something precious. We are under the aegis of the blood of Jesus, so you must make sure that you walk in line with the blood. You walk in line with what Jesus died for. You walk in line with what Jesus lived for. You walk in line with what Jesus holds fast. Rise up on your feet. Altars and covenants. Many people fight wars today because of evil covenants their fathers entered. I'm telling you, it happens. But we are going to pray. Say, Lord, I make a new covenant today with the blood of Jesus. I come under the aegis of the blood of Jesus, and I live by the blood of the new covenant. Can you go ahead and raise a cry? Say, Lord, I live under the coverage of the blood of Jesus. I live under the coverage of the blood of Jesus from today. From where I have been lawless, from the places I have acted as though without control, Lord, teach me to erect godly altars. Teach me, Lord, to erect godly altars. Teach me to erect personal altars and to strike covenants of life with you. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Jakata Barusia. We will not be covenant breakers. We will not be covenant breakers. The earth of covenant breakers will be burned with fire. We will not be reckoned as covenant breakers. We will be real with the Lord. The obedience of the Rechabites. Remember the Rechabites. The obedience of the Rechabites. The obedience of the Rechabites. The steadfastness, the convictions of the Rechabites. Help us, O God. You can't be hearing this and not making a cry to heaven. Send a cry to heaven. Say, Lord, the obedience of the Rechabites. God said to Noah, between me and you. He went to Abraham and said, between me and you. He went to the fathers of old and told them, between me and you. Say, Lord, I want to enter covenant between me and you, to love you all the days of my life, to serve you all the days of my life. Between me, between you, Lord. It is between me and you. It is personal. Go ahead and pray.
I enter a covenant of obedience. Go ahead and make a cry to the Lord. Say, Lord, I am here to make a covenant with you on the altar. I enter a covenant with I enter a covenant of trust in you. I will trust in you. I will follow you. I enter a covenant of trust. Somebody enter a covenant of trust. Say, Lord, I will trust in you for the rest of my life. Some may trust in chariots, some may trust in horses, but I will remember the name of the Lord. A covenant of trust I enter today. A covenant of trust, a covenant of dependence, covenant of dependence. Enter a covenant of dependence, covenant of dependence, to depend on the Lord alone. Covenant of dependence, covenant of dependence, to depend on the Lord alone. Covenant with God. Jesus. Somebody make a cry to the Lord. Send a cry to the Lord of heaven. Say, Lord, I enter a covenant with you. Covenant with you. To trust in you. To depend on you. To follow you. To follow you. Everywhere you go. Somebody say, Lord, I enter a covenant to follow you. To follow you. Every day. I will follow no other God. I will follow no other spirit. But only you, Yahweh. Elohim, For those that will follow the Lord, you will see His mercy every day of your life. I pray. Eli no no si ya la la la. Eli man no 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 no. He could have put us into Nagabella. A covenant is a contract. Covenant is a binding agreement. Say, Lord, I enter a contract today that I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you anywhere you go. Ruth said to her mother-in-law, I will follow you wherever you go. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Somebody enter a covenant with the Spirit of Christ that I will follow you wherever you go. I will follow you, follow you, follow you.
If you know the gravity of what I have spoken, if you know the gravity of what God has spoken through my lips this very day, you will not take it for light for granted. If you know the gravity of the message you have received, you will take covenant serious. The gravity of what the Lord has spoken today is something that can help preserve us in our journey, that we will not be covenant breakers, that the only covenants we will break are demonic covenants we had with hell and death. They are only these demonic covenants we had with forces and powers of darkness. Those are the only covenants that are agreed to be broken. Not covenants of life, not covenants of righteousness, not covenant of truth. But then, by the apostolic anointing of Yahweh Elohim over my life, I am proclaiming over everyone hearing my voice that the covenants you have entered into, covenants that are not born of God, covenants that don't have life in them, covenants that are not emerging from the presence of God, every covenant you have entered in the realms of darkness, the power of the resurrection and life of Jesus Christ, the covenants they are.
God, through His servant, Apostle Christian Nwoke, has just delivered to you a message from heaven. Now you are blessed and empowered to lead a victorious life by the power of the risen Christ. Amen.
For your programs, bookings, crusade, and testimonies, message us on WhatsApp with +234 703246 9360. You can follow Apostle Christian Nwoke on Facebook. Download our messages through the following platforms: www.foreshare.com, or by messaging us on WhatsApp. You can also get the messages on our Telegram and YouTube channel by searching Apostle Christian Nwoke. Visit our website www.ggsermons.com for more information.
You can also spread the gospel we preach by becoming a kingdom partner with us through your love offerings. Kindly message us on WhatsApp with +234 703 246 9360 to become a partner.
We are God's Army Global, bringing the fullness of God to every man, and taking us numberless as the sand by the seashore to heaven with us, even you.